This conference is being recorded.
Is Walker bored?
Hey, Russ.
Beginning like we did last year?
Yes.
Okay. Because I thought that was a great idea.
It's on the agenda there.
Yeah.
Moving again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it now.
Yeah, okay. Now, do you have anything else to add?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Have a motion to approve the agenda?
I may have a motion.
Ooh. Nice.
What'd you say?
Second. John O. Chuck Bowers moves. John Owen, that's in seconds. To approve the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yeah. As a change in the agenda, we have public comments both at the beginning and at the end. So if anybody has anything they would like to address to the board now, please step on up and use this microphone up here because the portable mics aren't working.
Can I just stop real quick? There's a guy back here. Dumping
tons,
a whole
mile away, so they can dump all those pineal conductors. I just stopped. But somebody needs to watch
the construction. You know. Really? Yeah. I mean, it's way. I mean, he's got signs on it. He's trying to dump it. I'm like, yeah.
Roger, there's an umbrella right over here on the side if you want to use it.
If you want me to go to
the
position, okay? I'm
sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Belinda.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Any other public suggestions?
No. Oh, perfect timing.
If you have a question, Victoria, you can ask it now.
I guess my question is, why have them at the beginning and the end? What's the purpose?
Okay. Communication.
You know, I'm going to...
Laugh me hard.
All right, Victoria. The meetings, the problem with meetings is when they get out of control, when you have conversations back and forth between members of the board and members of the audience. If you have a question to ask about what we're doing and how we're doing it, or a complaint about what we're doing or how we're doing it, last year people complained that they weren't being heard, and even though we had the public forum at the back. So it was suggested to me that we open up the public forum at the beginning, having seen the agenda, because we publish the agenda usually ahead of time, and you get a chance to see it. If you didn't see it this time, because it's a very simple agenda, I'm sorry if I didn't send it. Things just sort of took me this week, and I didn't get it out. But the board saw the agenda. So the reason for having the public comments at the beginning is for people that think that they have input about what we're going to talk about. They can speak up. I am not interested in having conversations between the board and the audience during the business part of the meeting because it just distracts. If you have communications that you would like to bring to the board and have them discuss it, send it to them in an email or discuss it with them personally ahead of time so that they can bring it to the agenda, and then the agenda will operate with the board members discussing what needs to be discussed. As a general matter, we have agreed, last year we didn't have this discussion yet with this particular board, but the board last year agreed that new items presented to the board in a meeting would not be voted on unless it was something that was so clearly needed that we would not vote on it. until the following board meeting. That would give people an opportunity to see the minutes, to see and have a discussion, talk with people, and then the item would be then addressed at the following board meeting. So that's in the new business. Generally, anything in the old business would have been discussed prior. So any new business that comes up won't necessarily be approved, with some exceptions. And that's why we wanted to do this at the beginning. Okay, if you go to different meetings, Mayor Fire, for instance, has this process at the beginning. Some city councils and county supervisors do this at the beginning. Others do it at the end. So because there seems to be interest in input, we do it at both ends. You know, at the beginning, we'll see how this works. If it doesn't work, if it gets too cumbersome, if it becomes something that's not tenable for us, then we'll maybe alter it again. But that is the reason for that particular change in the structure of the agendas. Any other questions about anybody have anything they want to say now? Okay. As everybody knows, we had the deferral of the annual meeting until last week. The new officers of the board met as directed immediately after the board met. Chuck Bowers is the new vice president. Dick Hinken is the new treasurer. His beaming smile tells you the pride that he has in this new position.
Oh, yeah.
And thankfully, Russ Courtney stepped up and was going to be the secretary, the recording secretary. So the bylaws also passed. The new board members were Scott Stratman and Russ Courtney. Chuck Bowers is also a new board member, but he's like a retread. He's been here before. And he can't talk today, so I think that it's safe to do whatever I want with him. The new board has, you know, the process is we meet for a few minutes at the beginning of the meeting. That way we can discuss if there are personnel things to discuss. It's not a topic of rumor that why are we meeting. We don't necessarily, and we get a little feel for what we're going to talk about during the meeting. We don't talk about anything in there. We don't talk about out here. It's a few quiet minutes for us to lay our agenda out and be able to do this in a professional way. So, welcome to the new board members, especially those that are working. And we talked to them about the building the station up there. There is interest in that up there. There is, of course, there are people who want to know more information about why and what impact it will have up there. So they have that on the table for them. And although there was overwhelming support for it, they did take a vote and voted $10,000 out of their HOA budget. If they needed it to use to build a fire station. So Joyce and I have been driving around continuing with the mapping. She's getting pretty much finished the places that we couldn't get to in the winter because of the snow. She's mapping in driveways and correcting errors that we find in the county information and the GPOSI information. And that should be coming out here within the next month or so. I know if you express an interest in that, you'll. If she's here later with her computer, maybe we can take a look and see what some of that is. There's just a transition period that goes on after the annual meeting, the new board, and new things that come up with the new board. So I think we'll be discussing some of those as we go along. So I think that's the end of my president's report. Secretary's report, you have the minutes that were presented to you with the draft minutes. Are there any changes to those minutes or suggestions from you that were on the board, John?
Nope.
Greg?
Nope.
You weren't there, you don't do it. All right. Okay, I have a motion to dispense with the reading of the minutes, or I'll be more than happy to read them. John will be, John will let us in. Moves. 2 seconds.
I defer my.
If you have any Greg Zala?
Older colleague.
Okay, any discussion about the minutes? Okay. All in favor of dispensing with the reading of the minutes? Yes. Treasurer's report, we're going to, we're not going to have a treasurer's report this morning. I think that the transition was that we had the annual report at the annual meeting. There's not much change in that. There have been some deposits. And Reed and Vic has just not had a chance to get into the details of this and get the QuickBooks transferred over to his computer and that sort of thing. So it's the treasurer's report is going to be tabled until next month. Fire chief's report.
Okay, first up, calls. It was a, for us, by our standards, a very busy month. One smoke call, one odor investigation, two medical calls, one of which got a lot of media attention, one illegal burn at the campsites, a tree fire, and one down power line. Busy. Next up, we so as Bill mentioned, we participated in the potato patch meeting. We gave a chief's report that was kind of more tailored toward, it's not meaningfully different, but kind of tailored toward their interests. As you might imagine, we engaged them in a discussion about building their own substation up there, which, you know, personally I would love to see happen. I'd like to think that we conveyed that we'll support them in any way we can other than financially, but we're, as a department, very much behind any effort that they can make. Next up I have on here something for the board that I emailed out. Stephen Gold wants to buy the slide-in unit that's back behind the station. This used to be in the old rescue vehicle, depending on when some of you came here. Before we had the ambulance, we had a an early 80s, I think it was early 80s, but a Ford Bronco that we used for rescue and had a slide-in unit. There's no visibility for us to use that in the future. Bill had asked me to figure a price with Stephen. He and I met at $150. And so that's something for you all to vote yay or nay, and we'll move on. Moving on, we completed the hazmat training. This was something I laid out a few months ago as being a kind of an important training objective for the year. So at this point, we've got about half of our group that are either trained for awareness or operations for hazmat. That is a big deal. That poses some potential risks here. We had an at-home chemistry fire years ago here, and, you know, we want to be better educated, God forbid we ever walk into something like that again. Another training objective for this year would be some ropes or TRT, and that's something I'd like to try and do with Prescott Fire. This is kind of an important one. Central Yavapai Fire District is going to be leaving Alarm. Financially, this is meaningful. We don't know the full extent yet, but the next meeting with them is July 23rd. This is a meeting that was postponed from late June, I don't remember the exact date, but we pay a prorationed amount based on the number of calls. Prescott Fire is by far the largest, followed by Central Yavapai, so losing them is financially meaningful. There's a minimum dollar amount, for anyone who doesn't know, to pay in of $5,000. Based on our actual call volume, we would be paying like $1,100. So, you know, we can almost quintuple, and it would still be the same $5,000 based on how things have been. Don't know if it's going to change. And if anyone's wondering about the money, it's well worth the expense. It's crucial on multiple levels. So this is not a complaint about the expense, but just by way of understanding, it could impact the partnership but not impact us financially. It just remains to be seen. Next up, in the office yesterday, today, tomorrow, and next weekend, we've got an S-130, 190 class, which hopefully will yield us some more firefighters. Most of them are, most of the people taking the class are from the Smoky Pine group. The significance there is, one of the good things about them coming to join us is, you know, a smoldering tree fire like we had this week, we don't really need them, but we're, if we ever have something that's really big, they've got, you know, a small army of people who are under the age of 30 who can dig line like animals all day long. That helps us immensely. I wouldn't minimize the potential there. And they're training four more of their guys. Also in the class is one of the Breezy Pine people, which is kind of another point somewhere on this list. Breezy Pine is interested in getting more involved. We've got another volunteer who's got her certs, getting PAC tested at the beginning of August. So, you know, we'll see how the relationship evolves, but if we can get them involved here somehow, that's, you know, I think positive for everybody. If there's a fire down there, their faster eyes on the fire is kind of the clear and obvious first benefit to us. Arizona Fire School, we've got three people who are going. We've got two scholarships, which is the max they'll give out. So there'll be one tuition expense coming. It'll be $130, which is pretty small. The three students are going to be taking the same structure class that the nine took this past February with Mayor and Central Yavapai. The next item is Breezy Pines, which I touched on. Severity patrol is probably ending this weekend. Every day we get an announcement about what the fire danger is. Today it was zero, which I don't think I've ever heard before, or the fire index, excuse me. Typically, the history of this is that we end severity patrols, you know, give or take, around the time that the monsoon starts. So it appears as though that's the case, so that's what we're doing. The board already knows this. Bought a fifth SCBA, one for each seatbelt between the primary structure truck, which has three seatbelts, and the support vehicle out there, 85, which has two. Quite simply, if we take those two trucks to a structure fire, we now have an SCBA for all five of the personnel who are the primary response. That should be an obvious safety thing. We got a very cheap price on eBay. Delivered, it was like $11.25. We'll still need to get a case for it, but that is like a couple of $1,000s below what a brand new one would be. I'm going to be going to the Chief Expo in Glendale on July 26th. I don't know why I put that in there, but in case anyone cares. we're continuing to get 86 outfitted. You can kind of see from here a few changes. We've got the cover on top. We've got some tools on the side here around the corner. We've got tools. We've mounted the pipe poles, which you can just kind of see. We've got the fittings in. We've got nozzles in. We've got all sorts of hose. So we are just about done, other than finding a place for the scene lights, which we already have, finding a place for them on the truck. That's an ISO requirement, is two sets of scene lights. We got them. We just need to find a place for them. We've also outfitted it at Mayor's suggestion, and this makes a lot of sense, for a minimal wildland response. We've got two hose packs on there. We've got one of the bins over here has a decent amount of wildland hand tools. So, you know, it's we learned from the Gladiator fire, a structure fire can quickly turn into a wildland incident. Starting in August, just as a heads up for the treasurer, this is something my predecessor started, and this is crucially important for us, is annual maintenance of the trucks. We'll start that in August. Typically, we have one at a time that goes in there. This is a great way for us to do it. Going one at a time, it's very easy to work with the Central Yavapai Garage. So this next one is kind of complicated. I'll try to work through it, and I'm almost done with my report. Something that I didn't realize about our engagement with Mayor is that they're supposed to be inputting all of our information into Firehouse software. I simply didn't know about that from when we engaged them. So this came to my attention. What should have been going in was calls and training. Well, so I'm told that they have been inputting information about the training that they have offered to us, and, you know, that's been here. But they've never asked us for any information about our calls, nor have they requested any information about the training that we do without them. The reason for the Firehouse software, and it's an expensive program, it's $2,500 to buy it, it's a $900 annual license. The reason for it is to be compliant with certain types of FEMA grants. There's a website, Assistance to Firefighters Grant Program, FEMA. For those grants, this information needs to be uploaded to the national database. So I spoke to the guy who, for lack of a better description, covers the West on these things. Well, this is not correct. First of all, we don't need to input any data until we get grants. Should we ever qualify for a grant, then part of the requirement is that we do this. The other thing is there's no requirement on Firehouse software There are free softwares that may or may not make sense for us to use. There are others that charge, you know, an expense and a licensing fee that might be cheaper. But the manner in which it was put forth to us is that it has to be this very expensive software is not the case. You know, there's kind of a couple of issues here with has Mayer been doing what we thought they were going to do? I don't know that, you know, you all can decide that case, but it seems like a pretty obvious question. And it's not something that we need now. If we never get a grant, I don't know if we're going to get one of these grants or not. If we never get one, then the reporting is not required. And so, like everyone, and this came from Doug Woods, who's, you know, one of the decision makers at this program. So it's important that we have the correct information about this stuff moving forward. Lastly, we've got visibility for a large near-term expense. I had asked about whether or not you all wanted to give this a vote, or because I don't know that it's budgeted looking backwards. I can put it into the new budget. As part of the ISO test, after talking to Mayer, but I had the idea that we need a 2.5-inch gated Y. It's about $1,100 from Cascade. The idea, I can give you more detail, but it's very simple. It removes a huge element of human error in the process of performing the 200 gallons a minute for 20 minutes test. If you want more detail, I'll give it to you, but that's the thing behind the thing, and that's all I got.
Russ, do you have any questions for Roger?
Just one. On the annual maintenance, because I have to write them. The annual maintenance, do we maintain some sort of a log for each of the trucks?
Well, so we take it to the Central Yavapai Garage, and we get paperwork mm-hmm. back from them from each visit of what's been done. They keep a copy, and we have a copy.
But nothing that we do here on them. They just do all maintenance? You guys don't do anything?
We do things like preventative maintenance. There's a notebook in the front of the truck. I mean, that's just topping off things. And so when we do that, there's a checklist situation.
Anything else, Russ? John?
No.
Great.
Yeah. Roger, real quick. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I don't know.
Turn on.
Is it on?
Yeah, it's on. Can you hear me? Now? Yeah, real quick on the, and maybe you mentioned it and I wasn't listening. Why is Central Yavapai leaving a lumber? What are they doing in place of that?
And do we pick each other?
This is obvious.
Not crystal clear, other than, you know, they are going to have their own dispatch. Beyond that, I mean, that's what this meeting July 23rd is about, is maybe not so much why are they leaving, but in terms of understanding how we move forward. There was a letter that went out to the other departments. For whatever reason, we didn't get it. But so other than they're going to have their own dispatch, I don't know the answer.
But we do get their bills. Central Alarm.
Okay. Central Alarm bills us, but Central Yavapai bills us for maintenance.
Right. Now I understand. And then.
Is it working?
It's not working. I think I've got to scream into it to make it work. Mm-hmm. Oh, the software that you mentioned. I thought Bob had gotten some software from Groom Creek, and he was loading that. Do you recall that? It was donated to us, and I thought there was some work done with regards to the calls and maintenance, and then we were going to load in some of the employee information as well.
So what they gave us was just a database file. They made something with access. It doesn't upload to the national database.
Okay.
It's great tracking for us, and it's, you know, we load stuff into it. That's not the issue, but in terms of uploading to as I was learning about this, I sent all the calls we had. I was able to export all the information to Excel, email it to them, and it doesn't look anything like the information that gets uploaded to the national database. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know what the problem here is exactly, but it just doesn't look like anything else. It's also not an issue until we get a grant from
this assistance to...
is there any utility in what Groom Creek gave us? Any point in keeping it up? I understand that for the grant, you know, we can always alongside the grant, but is there any utility in keeping that up?
The short answer, yes. We had a situation where we, as an example, where there was a medical call involving someone who supposedly had taken pills. Lifeline decided they didn't take any pills. You know, we didn't, but we entered that in our database. Lifeline determined that the patient didn't take pills. So things like that. There's all sorts of cover our behind type of quality. The other thing is, it is prudent for all sorts of reasons to keep track of, you know, I don't know about every detail that goes on here, not every time we unlock the tool cabinet, but keeping track of training, keeping track of calls, keeping track of, you know, the bigger equipment issues, the bigger maintenance issues, yeah. So that's the logic. It doesn't upload anything, but it's good information for us.
And the last question is, you are recommending that we acquire the 2.5, the Y. Right?
Correct.
Okay.
Just as a new board member, you have 9 people that are trained in instruction, and you got 3 more that are going through it, is that correct? And what's our ultimate goal? Just for 12, or where are we?
Basically anyone that wants to, there's this class or this thing in September that the 3 of us are going to, Arizona Fire School, it's every September, so that's one. If somehow we have a bunch of turnover within the department, then we can probably set up something similar to what we did in February up here. We've trained the people who have expressed interest in getting some structured training.
Okay. And the other thing was, I'm not familiar with the software that you're discussing. That, you know, is that a robust program? Is that just is that something we can use to upload, or rather than uploading into Excel and going to something else? Is that something that we could use if we had to go into this firehouse?
So are you asking, is there a compatibility between the database and the software we might have to buy?
Well, I don't know what software we were talking about.
The Groom Creek. It's
the Groom Creek.
An access file.
Yeah, it's just an access file.
Just an access file. So that keeps track of all of our training, all of the maintenance, all of the calls, everything. Is that correct?
It keeps track of the calls and the volunteers. I maintain training records on an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay, so I guess my question then leads to, would there be a possibility, or would it be prudent for us to look at something that would incorporate all those things rather than have separate databases? In other words, you're keeping something on Excel, and you're keeping this on Access, and so I wasn't sure whether we, like the Firehouse software.
Right.
That puts everything together, doesn't it? Training.
I believe that it does. I don't have direct experience in using it. We've never had the program here. I believe that it does.
Okay, my question just is that something that, you know, would be benefit to us to have, not necessarily the Firehouse one, but something that would be less expensive and would capture all of our information in one place?
The short answer is maybe. I mean, anything's possible. Yeah, I wouldn't rule anything out, but, it's all easily found now. If we can enhance the way we do things going forward, great. But, if it does work and it's all pretty easily accessible.
Maybe some NIMS software or something? Or.
Are you ready? I mean, do you have a question?
Maybe I do.
Okay. You had your chance.
That's true.
We'll go back. I'm just trying to get my arms around this. Following up with Greg's question, and Chuck's comment, the board needs to know exactly how the stuff is tracked and how, you know, give me an example. We're creating a fundraising committee board level to start, obviously, doing more professional fundraising. Whenever you go out to donors, they want information. I know there's a lot of stuff that you can't make public in terms of patients and stuff like that. But it'd be great to have a system where we were putting our stuff on the website, I think, showing all the things we've done. Because I don't really think the people that live here realize just how many things you guys go out and do. And in order, I'm always thinking about raising money, in case nobody's ever figured that out. Yeah, in order to raise money, the case has to be clearly made why we need the money. And that's a big deal. Not only is it professionally a big deal to have those records, but we need to get the information out there.
I don't know if there was a question.
I didn't think I didn't hear a question.
That was
And thank you, by the way, for a report that I think everybody likes to hear, where we really understand what's going on.
Cool.
Good, awesome.
Good report.
Good job.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. We're set. Also on the reporting, obviously, would decrease our liability if we have good records on why we did what we did. So from a liability, whether it's a fire or a medical issue, I think we got to make sure that that's well documented. Otherwise, I have nothing else.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry. I just have one.
We're going to go back around again.
Okay.
Hmm. My understanding of the programs, the computer programs, the fire industry has requirements for these computer programs in a variety of ways. NIMS is one of them. The Firehouse program is another one. The Groom Creek cobbled together what they did for their own purposes for tracking, and they offered it to us for us to track, and they let us use it. It doesn't necessarily translate into these other requirements from the fire industry. And it's not so much a requirement, it's what they expect to see when they come. It's something that they're familiar with that it looks like. It's my understanding. It's not so much the requirements like Roger has mentioned. The Firehouse computer program is not the requirement. It is what people are used to seeing. And so when they come, they want to find something like that or similar to that. A couple of things about what you mentioned here. We need to report the fact that we report out from the treasurer that we did approve an amount over the $750 allowed for the purchase of equipment that was outside the budget. That was $1,100. So I think that was something that would have been part of the treasurer's report normally. But you did mention it that we did have an $1,100 expenditure that would save us money, and we went ahead and authorized it, and we did it, and that's all taken care of. Second thing you mentioned is this gate and valve they talked about. I think that at the end of this, somebody should probably make a motion to approve the purchase of that valve. And this has been a long going on discussion. There's no sense in carrying us on this any further. So, Russ, do you have anything more for Roger?
No.
John, you said you had a question.
Sure. I'll grab this mic. Yeah. Thank you. I guess my the question is, how do we currently manage our incidences? Is there one person designated to, like, a one-page handout to write up what happened, or?
So as a matter of procedure, we need to record what happened and who went. So it's pretty simple. When we get back from an incident, you know, maybe right then and there, or maybe, you know, in the next couple of days, I get the statistics from alarm, which is the run number, the various times associated with responding, getting there, so get that data. So that needs to be input. So we get like essentially a page that's a form, and you just fill it out. It's, you know, the work involved is 2 minutes, if that.
Mm-hmm.
But who was there, the relevant times, and then just a real quick narrative of what happened.
How is that kept? In what format? Electronic, paper, in a folder?
It is
a hard copy, right?
No, I haven't printed them. It's on the computer in Access, and then every so often I resave the whole file to my Gmail as a backup.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
We'll follow up, I guess.
Greg,
yeah, I don't know. Does that one even work? Does this one work?
Yeah, it works.
Okay, just so that we can clear up some of the information, Access and Excel are both Microsoft products, correct?
Yes.
the access that you just referred to is the access that we got from Groom Creek Customized?
Yes.
Is that where you're loading the information?
Yes.
So consistently, we're using the Groom Creek software for those.
Okay.
And what I heard was there was a little bit of a conflict with Mayer. What they said was that there was a software that we had to acquire. What you found is that that's not necessarily the case. It doesn't matter what we use as long as we capture the information and we're able to extract it later.
For general record keeping, that's correct. If we ever get to a point where we do need to upload to this national database, we're going to need some software that is compatible. There are choices that are free. They may stink, I don't know. There are various types that cost money. The other thing that this Doug Woods said is in filling out the grants, I don't know precisely what he meant, but we can include the cost of software that is compliant into the grant. It would be pretty difficult for us. He said it's not impossible for us to get a grant. There's a thing there that makes it look like you must have written mutual aid. We're probably not going to get that because there's nothing between us and Prescott Fire, or there's gaps between us and Prescott Fire. He said, even though it's kind of worded that way, he goes, well, that would be nice, but you don't have to. It was going to be difficult for us to ever get a grant there, but it is not technically impossible.
Okay, you're going to have to forgive me. I'm a newbie, sort of. So, and I wasn't, and I want to make this abundantly clear. I think that the fire chief is doing a wonderful job in the fire department, and the purpose of my question was not to challenge what you're doing or how you're doing it. The purpose of my question was to look at this from the standpoint as a group, we're going to continue to grow in this community. Then I look at it like, well, if we just keep doing things because it's required, then you start having little building blocks here and there. All I'm suggesting is, and I think Greg was making this point, you got an access database, you got an Excel database, and maybe it would be worth our while to investigate something a little more sophisticated. So when the time comes that we might have to do that, we're there. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Just a quick question. Is there an ISO baseline requirement?
No. The hurdles for ISO 8B are very low. It's a short equipment list, and that truck orchestrating 200 gallons a minute for 20 minutes.
At the right valve.
Right. Well, I mean, we're trying to remove human error as much as possible.
Right.
Scott?
And some volunteers are always nice, yeah.
We're going to, at some point, probably be doing a plan long-term for the department. Some of the things that you bring in, we might want to incorporate it. At what point do we want to have full ability to integrate with whatever might happen in the future. So as we form that planning committee, I think we should definitely include that.
Put your own on me.
Okay. Anything else for the fire chief? Have a motion to approve the fire chief's report?
Good job, Roger.
Make a good job, Mayor. I make a motion.
Jeff Barr moves. Have a second?
Second.
Vacation in seconds. All in favor? All right. Okay. Volunteer of the Month recognition. I have certificates. I don't think anybody's here. But the people that helped at the annual meeting and counted the ballots, Stephen, Leanna, Bill Borak, Fred, and Carolyn Isley, Chuck and Terry, Chris and Terry Thiske, and Laura Reeder. And they all stepped up and did that. So I have certificates. I'll send them home with you that know them. If you like, you can give them to them. Okay, old business, the budget committee. I think that Vic, you suggested that we have a meeting after this meeting to settle the budget, and those that are interested in sitting down immediately after this board meeting to go through the budget. The budget committee consists of yourself, Greg.
Greg.
Is Roger. Greg. Joyce Hyman came in. And
that's it.
That's it. Okay. All right.
So we won.
So, that's all you need. All right.
Roger's going to be on the call.
Without objection, I'll table the budget committee and report until next year. Next month?
Next year.
Next year. All right. The audit committee.
The audit committee consists of Joyce Hyman, I suspect.
I have received nothing from Debbie Black today.
Okay. Joyce,
We're going to talk about that. We're going to have a joint budget audit committee meeting.
Okay. You're going to be at the budget committee to talk about then. I know that Adam Rutherford is preparing the year-end information for you. I know I spoke with him last week, and I think that Vic has too. So it's forthcoming.
Can I say something on it? It's kind of like the Treasurer budget audit. We're doing a couple of things that I would have put in my Treasurer meeting, but you know, I was gone for a week after I was elected to this high position, and I got back last Tuesday and started on it. And I kind of knew this, but you know, we have some structural changes that we need to look at very seriously. And I have created another committee made up of the past three treasurers, Greg Stava, Greg Kozlowski, and Tim/Christy McFarland, along with Joyce. So we got the three past treasurers and the person who audits the book to sit down and look at how we're doing business in the treasury end of things. And to, I can tell you it isn't right. I mean, the way we're doing it, I mean, it's like a past. We're getting the job done, but it's not pretty. And it leaves a lot of holes that shouldn't be left. So that committee, hopefully in the next month, will meet to help develop how we're going to operate going forward.
Great. New business. First item was medical response SOP and SOG. I think that we've decided we're going to table this also until we have some further review and take a look. I think Scott has an interest in this, and we had the one that Roger forwarded is fairly comprehensive in terms of the response and how we react to things. Maybe some opinion that you might want to suggest to us, Scott, with your medical experience. So I think that you come back to us in the next week, next month or so, with some suggestions for that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now we have a committee formation, and I didn't include in the agenda the names of these committees, but I think that we have some thoughts about what we have. We have the GIS committee. I'd like to continue that. The mapping committee with Joyce. And then we have, I want to suggest a fundraising committee. The fundraising committee to include things like the Walker Day, any other fundraising events that come on will be subcommittees of the fundraising committee so that they will have whoever chairs the fundraising committee, and I think it should be somebody on the board, and they will then solicit members of the community to help with these different events that are designed to produce income. The structure then would be a committee chair and then subcommittees for each of the events. Like, then I also think a social committee that will handle things like the Firefighter Appreciation Day. This is not a fundraising event. It's an event that we provide in a potluck. The bingo is not really a fundraiser. It is as much a social event as it is a fundraiser. It doesn't really raise enough money to rise, I think. It does produce some income. It doesn't produce the kind of income that are necessarily going to affect our budget. The same thing with Pancake Day. That would be, you know, social events would be the Firefighter Appreciation Day, the bingo, the Pancake Day, and other social events that people would like to have or hold, and they come forward to the social committee. Are there other committees that we have to have the planning committee? And did we select a chair for the planning committee?
Yes, we did.
I think it was something like Greg Stada.
Jim Zizi is out of town.
Yeah,
this is the third year in a row for a planning committee and three different chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Someone will be done eventually.
So, I think that
Greg.
And the planning committee will include a variety of things that they're going to do. I don't know, Scott, you have an idea about the Walker Community Center. Do you want to fold this into the planning committee, or do you want to have that as a separate committee? Okay.
Just for the feasibility, get that started.
I know, Russ, that you have an interest in the facilities Yeah. And you want to start a facilities committee that's responsible for, and this will pull back into your budget committee. All these things are interactive, because if we have this building, which we need to determine the kinds of repairs and maintenance that are needed on this building, like when's the roof going to go, and you need to have plans, some sort of planning for budgeting that out, where we're going to put in $10,000 a year for the roof, or $5,500, whatever it is,
yeah,
to make a plan so that you can repair the roof, you can repair, make other repairs, you have water heaters and things like that, and things that are that really haven't been part of the discussion that we've done this in the past. I think we probably need a committee for the vehicles to study and determine what our needs are, Roger. Maybe this is probably as much in your camp, unless, you know, you already have a lot of hats that you're wearing. Somebody and something to discuss what's the state of affairs of our equipment. You know,
sure.
We have a 2005 truck or a 1990 truck, and whether or not to build it. So,
let me just, and Greg, I'm waiting
I know.
To get the attention.
Usually that's you, Greg.
I know.
That's the way he said it.
It's separated. A lot of what you just mentioned, the last thing, I think should be subcommittees, not standing committees by themselves, answering back to the planning committee, because whatever the subcommittee facilities comes up, has to go back into the major plan going forward. Whatever, looking at the fire trucks needs to be looked at, and goes back to the planning committee, because they can't plan without all those pieces. So it needs to fold back into planning.
Okay. All right. Is that anybody, any thoughts on that, John?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
My first thought is, kind of like a fundraising committee, that makes sense, that's fine. But then you talk about like a social committee of some sort. Where does the WSA fall into this? Because it seems like that's what they have been doing most of the time.
That's correct. And I have to tell you that when I met with the web committee, and several of those people are new people in the community, there was confusion about WFBA, WFA, WCAA, and all the other names and nomenclatures. So I thought the WFA was simply a fundraising committee. Just call it a fundraising committee as part of the WFBA, so that it's a clear line. They understand where it belongs. That's the name is there, but it's basically the function. We just won't call it the WFA. You start putting all these acronyms on our website, everybody just rolls their eyes back and say, what is it? Who are we dealing with, and why are we doing it this way? That's my suggestion. I'm not king.
So
if you have a different version of your vision about how that should be done, then we can do it.
And is it Judy, or who is the person that's handling the WFA right now?
I think John Horvath has been primarily the main person that's involved.
Yes.
Judy had some personal issues, and she's been back and forth to Massachusetts, so she's not as available as she has been.
So with this caveat of maybe having like a subcommittee, maybe we could have like a fundraising social committee, and John Horvath would be the one that would be answering to, and I could take care of maybe the fundraising committee, something like that.
Yeah, we can decide who's one of the... Define the structure here,
right.
Then decide who's going to be doing that.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I think that we're throwing these things out, and the board is going to have a retreat where we sit down and discuss these things in detail and have a little gathering of what we're going to do, and then we'll report that back out at the board meeting. But I'm just laying out my suggestions. I'm going to give each of you the opportunity to make your suggestions as to what you think might be added. Okay?
Sounds good.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Russ, you have anything to add?
No, I'm good.
John?
Good, thank you.
Greg? Okay. Yep. Roger?
Mm-hmm.
And Scott. Okay, now Scott, you have a topic that you would like to add?
Sure.
I think it's up.
What I'm proposing is that we do a feasibility study on how we might get a community center done. Would it be an FPA project, WFPA project? Would it be a WCAA
Would it be an association vote? Would it be a separate entity? What are our options on financing it, public financing, getting the city of Prescott to possibly help, community sponsors, tax benefits, land swaps, just all the various options of what we could do. I'd like to have a WFPA member on it, which I'd be happy to do if it was okay with you guys. I'm sure that WCAA could supply someone, and then get one or two members from the community that are in well-respected, and just get together and explore our options over about 90 days. At the 90-day standpoint, we make some options, and at that point, we would further get a direction of where we're going to go if we're indeed going to do this. So it's long and winded, but I make a motion that we start this feasibility study with a 90-day window on it.
I got a question on that.
Can we have a motion? How about a second? Let's have a second.
I thought.
Okay. Okay. Now we can have discussion.
Sorry. I'm way ahead of myself.
Right, Vic.
The motion, though, is for this board to supply a member to a committee that's not
a function of this board.
It's not a function of this board.
Correct.
Thank you. I just want to make that clear. But.
All right, the move and second. Russ, do you have any comments?
No, other than, you know, as long as it doesn't affect what Walker Fire is supposed to do, then I'm fired.
John?
Okay.
Greg?
Good.
Fine.
All right, all in favor? Vote. Motion pass. Anything else? Any new business? Russ, do you have any new business?
I do not.
John?
I'd like to start talking about Firefighter Appreciation Day.
All right. That's part of your committee. Okay, we'll get around.
A couple of things to vote on.
Yeah, okay. Hang on. Greg?
The why.
All right. We don't have a motion
for why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Have fun with it.
I'd like to make a motion to this on.
It's going to be a quiet motion.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I'd like to make a motion that this board accept Roger Nussbaum as our fire chief for the next coming year.
Second. Okay, part of the discussion, I think that don't the new bylaws say that the fire chief selection is done like mid-year, like September? But that's right. But I think this is a vote of confidence in Roger. Is that what you're meaning?
Exactly.
Any discussion about that? Russ? John?
Couldn't be happier.
Greg?
Good.
Vic? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Meaningful eye contact.
He's truly appreciated.
All right.
It's about to be on.
All right. All in favor? Opposed? There you go, Roger.
I'm not sure if thank you is the appropriate response.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
You want my treasure too?
Yeah, hang on.
I'm sorry, Chuck. I know you were poking me about that, and it was clear to me that there was no effort at all to replace Roger.
No, I know that.
Okay, Vic, you have any other new business?
No.
Roger, you say you have some items that you have motions on.
I was going to ask you guys to yay or nay on the slide-out unit.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Stephen, and then yay or nay the the White Office.
Well, thanks for bringing us back to reality. Do we have a motion here to approve the sale? John O.
150, why not?
Moves to sell the slide-out unit. Second. Rick Hinkin seconds. Any discussion about this?
Or no.
I think the only discussion would be that, and Greg brought it up, is that the bylaws involve a $750 limit for spending, and we should probably adopt a resolution, maybe that'd be a different motion, that at the same time, if you want to get rid of items here that are less than $750, that's your discretion. And otherwise, every time you wanted to sell a broom or something like that or throw it away, then we're going to have board action. It's not necessary. So, any other discussion about this motion? Okay, all in favor of selling the slide out to Stephen Gold? All opposed?
motion you just said. I'll make it if you want.
Okay, make a motion?
Yeah.
Vic, so Vic's motion is?
Is that give him the leeway to sell equipment up to $750 without board approval.
Second.
Discussion.
Russ?
John? I'll just say, is that an appropriate number? I mean, if we're just piggybacking on the other $750 for purchases, does that seem to make sense? Or if it's a $500 item, should we get involved? Or
no.
No?
$750.
Okay, just end it? All right, fair enough.
John, he still has to report it back to the appraiser.
That's true.
We have to.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Good point.
The only rider to that, because we've had instances, you know, where things have been great here and so forth. Understanding that, yeah, the $750 goes without saying you have the authority to write a check for $750. You should have the authority to make the same decisions for disposal. But you know, that comes with a caveat that you're going to document it, you're going to look for the market value, whether you're going to monetize it or just blow it out of the department because it's not used anymore. So that's the only addition I would add.
Do I have an amendment to the motion?
Yes. Document.
I can sure.
Yeah, just document.
Yeah, the that's transaction and the value, and that's fine.
So the motion is?
Yeah.
The motion is with the amendment that the fire chief, at his discretion, has the approval or the authorization to dispose of unneeded equipment up to a value of $750 based on sound research. Documentation
given to the treasurer.
Sure.
Given to the treasurer.
Right. And then it can be
taken off the list of equipment.
You accept that
right.
Amendment?
Sure. I do.
All right. Any other discussion?
No.
Greg?
And it would be the next board meeting that it would basically be saying that this is what we did.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Scott?
Good.
Right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
That's true. It would be on your treasurer's report that next month. This is what we did and this is where we got the money. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Nothing.
All right. Now we need a motion for the 2.5-inch gated
wine.
Greg Sava moves. Purchase a 2.5-inch gated wine valve for plus or minus what, $1,200?
I think must be made out of platinum and has like hydraulic.
That's huge.
I mean, it's
huge.
Brass.
It's right. Wow.
Second for Greg for Chuck Power seconds.
Yeah.
Any discussion about the valve, Russ?
No.
We'll check
John?
eBay. We'll check eBay for current listing prices.
Always looking for a bargain.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, I was thrilled about the SCBA. You got a bargain on an SCBA. Maybe there's a gated valve on there for $400.
It's amazing what's been stolen from fire departments.
That's right.
I've been taking it for the last 2 years ago.
All right.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Sold from Prescott, Arizona.
Yeah,
let's just
buy it
$1,500. All right. Anybody else? All right. All in favor? Gated valve. All right. Another item of new business. I realize this is recognized. Bill Karash is sitting over there. We one of our committees needs to be the not the bylaws, but the articles of incorporation. I think that the board needs to authorize Bill to draft, read, and propose, make a proposal draft based on the information we've already given them about the bylaws, so they start to come in compliance with the articles. If someone complies with the bylaws will be in compliance with the articles. If there are changes necessary to the bylaws as a result of changes in the articles, then we can discuss that later. This is not an issue about bylaw changes. There are some people asking for changes in the bylaws already, but I believe that we need to start the process now to get the articles in shape. So do I have a motion then to form that committee? We'll start that committee and we won't wait for that to happen with as the other committees are going to be from the...
I'll make the motion.
Okay, Dick Hinken?
I don't want to be on the committee.
Dick Hinken moves.
So you raise your hand?
Dick Hinken moves.
That Bill Ross does all the work, right.
Okay. The draft file, article proposal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have a second? Scott, seconds? Any discussion about this? Russ?
John?
Greg? All in favor? Opposed? All right, Bill, that's your charter. All right, public forum, community announcements first. Do we have any community announcements? WCAA? Which one of you, Ms. Victoria? Oh, you're both going to say it. Which one wants to go first?
I wanted to let everybody know in the community, and this will go out on the web, that the WCAA is starting their third annual coat drive. I don't know how many coats are still out there, since this is our third year, but we did 85 coats the first year, and last year we did 75. So we're doing pretty good. Again, these coats would benefit Catholic Charities and the Coalition for Compassion and Justice. A reminder that we're in need of children's coats, so check with your grandkids. They've probably outgrown a lot of things, so just put those in a bag. At this point, the WCAA and the Morehouse House is going to donate $1 per coat that is raised. I will take any public pledges also from anybody here. For the Thanksgiving dinner program that Catholic Charities will be doing with their program of hope. I would like permission to gather coats here at the pancake breakfast and at the board meetings through mid-October.
Okay, I don't think that's a problem. I believe that you did that last year. I think just continue on.
And I'm up for a dollar. Anybody else here?
Okay. Betsy, per coat.
Per coat. So last year it would have cost $80.
I have a company that has 20,000 coats, so I'll get.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Dollar a coat.
Dollar a coat. Minus anything. All right, comes up.
Yeah. A cap of 100.
It's a community announcement.
Yes, that's correct.
Last Saturday we had a very successful Sunday into NBA Saturday, and it was delightful.
What was it?
Sunday, Saturday.
Oh,
you get ice cream Sunday.
I got it.
And it was a very delightful event. It's kind of different in the sense that we have no other purpose than the ice cream talk, no agendas anywhere, and fortunately we have enough parking and places to sit. We're going to add another tent or two this next time. We're going to do this. We had about 50 to 55 people in and out last week. Just bring your chair and you get an ice cream. It's free.
Delicious.
And lots of condiments. Doesn't cost you yet. There's a donation there jar if you wish to do so. And we have another one scheduled for August 4th, Saturday, August 4th, and for Saturday, September 4th. So please join us. We're going to spread out a little bit so you are all under one little tent. We'll have a couple more tents. And just come in.
Okay, Betsy, thank you very much. Lauren?
Just a brief update on our last trip today, which was June the 2nd. We had 36 known participants. There were some people who came down and dropped stuff off that we don't have any record of. We had 14 total volunteers. The total cost for this is $2,174.48. County Supervisor Tom Thurman and Gary Royston of Powick got together and looked for and found possibly another $1,000. So this will reduce our total cost. The WFPA has volunteered to pay half of the cost as well as the WCA. So if they kick that money in, and there's a possibility we could even get over $1,600 back. If so, it's going to reduce our cost considerably. The other thing I'd like to bring up is on July the 21st, there is a Wildfire Expo. It's going to be held downtown on the plaza on Cortez Street between Union and Goodwin. And it's a good opportunity to learn more about FireWise, to interact with the U.S. Forest Service, State Park Forestry. There will be vendors there from various landscape companies, most of the fire departments are going to be there with demonstrated equipment, answering questions, and there'll be a lot of fireways, brochures, and information available. So I invite everybody to attend that on July the 21st from 10 till 3 p.m.
And where was that?
Courthouse Plaza. It's in conjunction. It's at the same time as the Williamson Valley Art Show, but we have the area on Cortez Street, south of Union.
Three members of our community are sitting at a table, correct?
Whatever they're going to have us do. We're committed from 7 o'clock in the morning till noon to help out wherever.
Chuck, I believe Chuck and Lauren and I will be, have already volunteered to assist
Okay, any other announcements? Bingo, of course, next week. John?
Bingo is coming Saturday.
Bingo next Saturday, okay? All right. Public forum. Anybody?
Oh. Yeah, I don't know where I fall into. I did want to ask about the Firefighter Appreciation Day. We to carve out a date for that.
Right.
So we don't have any conflicts. And my only question, like to Roger, is, if we did it like third Saturday of October, is third Saturday for some reason a typical training day? Okay, so maybe the second makes more sense. I mean, we have a board meeting on the second, typically, second Saturday. So that's what I wanted to see if there's any conflict.
Let's look at the calendar and see what we come up with. There might be an extra Saturday.
Okay.
Okay?
Right, or maybe we can make it the fourth Saturday. When is pancake breakfast? Is that first?
It's the last Saturday.
That's the last
one. It depends on how many Saturdays there are in a month.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. I'm done.
All right, other comments? Betsy.
As a member of the community, I would like to understand as we go through this affect my outlook, as you all have mentioned, as big mentioned, for some community members as far as contributing, getting back to purposes, the use of money and planning. I would like to know, like in putting Big Bug out, the facility at Big Bug, and looking toward Breezy Pine, Potato Patch, and eventually sometime down the road, Breezy Pine. And as you mentioned, we're not, we volunteered not to contribute monetarily, which could change, but currently, as we put equipment into these facilities that are built, do those facilities come into any type of an asset issue, bringing them in as an asset of the WCA, of the WFCA, excuse me? And with bringing them in as an asset, is there any insurance liability there? And any agreement being established for housing equipment that belongs to the legal entity of the WFCA? Those are very, and as we look forward to KCAT, the same elements would come into compliance with that. How are we dealing
with? Okay. The answer is yes to all those things. We have the agreement, and I'm sorry, Bill left. I think he's one that his original draft for the agreement with Mark Herron was like 38 pages. He did the commercial lease agreement, which is basically standard boilerplate for a lease agreement and arrangements. It includes details. We're going to pay a buck a month for the rent up there. The building will be leased by us from Mark Herron. It would be built by us for 10 years. At the end of the 10-year period, there would be a renewal of the lease if we needed it. In that 10 years, there may be the possibility of building a station on our own land, and this station would then revert as a garage to Mark Herron, I suppose. But then that's part of the agreement. It is money donated for the purpose of that fire station by people, and not only up in the Big Bug, but they have donations from down here. Yes, we do have to insure it. That's part of the agreement. We have to maintain it, and that would be part of the agreement. We can't let it lie fallow, and we are agreeing to place a piece of equipment in that firehouse. There's a variety of reasons for doing it.
Roger is probably better at explaining this, but you get faster response. Guys can get up that hill faster in their ATVs and in their cars, and there's people between here and the station that would have to drive this way, turn around, and drive back. Tim's one of those. So it's just easier to jump on their horse and get up there and go. And just the fact that we were talking about putting a fire station or a fire truck up there at the potato patch, there must have been a half a dozen guys in that meeting that asked Roger about how to get qualified to become firefighters. So it attracts volunteers, and whether or not they would meet the qualifications or not, but it does add interest. So those are all part of the discussions that we had with Mark. And the detail of, we would build the station, we would put our equipment. We have equipment to fit up there. It's not we have more than we need. We probably have more equipment than a lot of fire departments our size has. Some of it's older, of course, and needs to be replaced, so we need to talk about doing that. But there will be professional agreements written with the landowner, Mark Herron, on the Big Buck. The potato patch may have a different situation. If the Potato Patch Homeowners Association builds the building, they may own the building and then rent us the space, and then that would be on a long-term basis. But our commitment is if they build the station, that we will put a piece of equipment up there. Breezy Pines, they've expressed an interest in what's going on. We don't know if we can ever get there for a fire because it's a little different. But eventually, like you mentioned, there's a real possibility that we could have a piece of equipment over there. But it would all be funded as it happens, so I don't think anybody would take funds away from the operating expenses of the WFPA. It has to be rational for us to do these things. It vastly improves the response time for fires. And believe me, if they have a fire in a potato patch that gets out of control, Walker's going to be in trouble. Same thing on a Big Bug. If something gets out of control up there, it's not saying that we can stop it, but we have a much better opportunity to do it. But all those things that you ask have been discussed. This agreement with Karash, I don't know that it'll end up being 38 pages, but it's going to be substantially detailed when they do it. So I don't know if I've answered all your questions, and I don't know if anybody else has any questions to answer.
It's not needed because I think we all, at least from my point of view, as an investor, we all become investors. The rationale exists and is easy to see and understand. I am a business person and I look at the business detail. And first, I will tell you, I've been involved in a number of leases in New York, there's no history in 30 some pages. For the big fund, so number one, so 30 pages isn't impressive. It actually looks on the dumber side. Yeah. The fewer pages and a simple direct lease and the insurance involved. So that will become that once it's done. Is there a time frame set for that? Like by the time the equipment goes in there, will there be an agreement and the insurance and all, and then that will become a part of the business, the accounting and so forth of the WFPA, correct?
Yeah, you're correct. And you're right. 38 pages for me is two paragraphs and we're done. We promise and
that makes
much sense because the 38-page thing is going to go to court and everybody's going to tear it apart anyway. So if those things are only important when you finally end up in a courtroom someplace, hopefully we're not going to end up doing like that. So, right, there has to be some... Yeah, we'll work this out. We will sit down with Mark, somebody on the board, myself or someone, and with Karash and or someone else to draft up something that really fits our particular circumstances. But there will be insurance. Before we put a truck up there, we have to have insurance up there. There's no sense in putting something up there that exposes us.
So in long range, like the one on the potato patch, we are dealing with an individual, at least with an individual. Or a family trust or whatever, a lease of a facility once they go to stay in Pinkhead would be with another probably 501c3 or corporation. And then we would have the applicable insurance to cover the liability and equipment. So that all comes into our account. I just wanted to look at a long range, which I think is a part of what Vic is mentioning. The community wants know, and a lot of us recognize those elements that will become a part of the business.
Sure, and I think that those are all part of the discussions and that we need to have this done in a professional way. Russ, the first thing out of the gate is talking about, you know, long-term costs of maintenance of not only this building but the new buildings that are coming on board. And so, you know, he brings to us that particular question that we hadn't really discussed openly before, but, you know, these are the things that we have to consider and have to be part of this planning committee that everybody understands we need to have. So does that answer those questions?
Can I ask you one staff question, one other thing?
Okay. Anytime, you're ready.
That is, as most of you know, before we even incorporated for the WCAA, part of the purpose and part of the reason was to look at all of these extenuating things that can be done for this community with the fire department. I am so thrilled with the changes that are being made and how Roger is complimenting that. But the fire department focuses, you have so much detail to really, really focus on. And our purpose initially, one of our first site things we thought of was this community needed a community center. And even before we incorporated, that is all a part of our planning. So as Scott and us have talked and others, this is a very good place where we can work together as far as something for the community with the two organizations together, both that and the absolutely wonderful committee of the FireWise compliment that we have.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah, great. Thanks. Agreed. Thanks, Betsy.
Well spoken.
Anybody else? Victoria?
Yes, I have 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 points.
Sure.
Probably about 3.
Okay. At last month's annual meeting, during the reading of the 2011 minutes, there was a recap of the votes that nominees each received. I'd like to know where those numbers were taken from because they are not part of the 2011 minutes. My other point, would you like me to look them
up? No, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is just my bug, but I do use the website a lot, and we need somebody to be updating that. Nothing has been posted since March of the treasurer's report. Nothing since April, the unapproved board minutes, and this is now July, so I'd like to please have that addressed. At this point today, I think I quickly recap that we have formed 7 committees. I think this was asked for last year, that all of these committees be posted on the web with the members and the chairperson so that if people are interested in it, they might join or get involved. Last but not least, I don't understand what the problem with the acronyms are that you mentioned, WFA, WFPA, and WF, Walker Fire. I think we seem to know what they are, so I don't understand what the problem is.
What was your first point?
At the recap of the...
Oh, the recap of the annual meeting. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Jared Miske did the minutes for the annual meeting last year, and as an appendum to the minutes, he had the list of the vote tallies. So it wasn't necessarily in the paragraphs, but it was attached to the back of it, what the vote tallies were. And
I looked at the minutes, and if they were not posted there, that's
what. Yeah. Okay. Whether or not the vote tallies were posted out, you know, I don't know that. I just know that I had an appendum to the back of the minutes that included the vote tallies. Do you question the accuracy of those particular numbers?
No, I was just wondering where you got them.
Okay. They were part of his record, and his annual meeting record. He had, I think he still had the ballots even, and in there. Okay, the web. The website, I met with the, there's been a guy operating the website. I am the face of the website just to absorb these kinds of complaints so that the guy that's running the website doesn't have to deal with it. I try to get him, he makes 30 entries into that website a week based on trying to get it back up and cleaned up from what was happening behind the scenes in the website, being able to load stuff up. I don't know why he's behind in loading up. He has the information. He is in the process with a group of five other people now of rebuilding the website. It'll have a total different look. And I don't know how soon it is. There's an email out now. Russ is one of those that's helping. There are a variety of people who are professional website people. We need content. Roger, we've asked Roger for his updates, you know, for his structure. So I don't know when that's going to happen. You're right. The website is lagging in terms of that kind of information that you're talking about, the minutes. That's why I've been sending the minutes in an email to the community for the past several months. Same, the treasurer's report is reported out here, and it's part of the minutes for the next month's meeting. So it's not on the website, but it has been distributed. I understand that that's probably not the best, but that's basically what's happening. And I'm the guy that's responsible for that, Victoria. I just haven't held his feet to the fire for that. The committees, and that's part of the website, making sure that, that there's information about what the committees are. I think that's part of the planning for the website. And the fact that, you know, what committees are and the request for volunteers will be part of what the website asks for. And as far as the acronyms, this is just something that came from that committee. People that are new, they didn't understand what WCAA was, what WFA was, what WC, what WFPA was. There was just confusion with them. It's simple enough for us to not do the WFA. WCAA is what it is, WFPA is what it is, and we'll just have a fundraising committee. If you want to reestablish, if the community wants to reestablish the WFA again, we can do it. So this isn't anything that is, it's just a different name. It's not necessarily a different function.
Can I answer to that last a little bit, too?
Sure.
Most people understand what the acronym stands for, but they don't understand what the WFPA is. For instance, are we in charge of building a community center? That's yet to be decided. What is the WCAA? Lauren, you heard me talking to someone the other day where they didn't understand, really. They knew WCAA was good, but they didn't understand that all the dollars that you bring in don't stay within the community. Again, that's not bad, but they didn't understand what your charity is. So there is a partial understanding. They might talk to you every day and understand what it means, but they don't understand what your responsibilities are and what you're doing. So we want to define what you do, what we do, what any other charities we're involved with do, sort of make a mission statement for each and make sure. And I've run into that probably 10, 15 people have not understood the responsibilities of each organization, what their parameters are.
Well, but the WCAA, we state that in our bylaws.
They don't read the bylaws.
And no, but at every one of our meetings, we have information that is put out that the
okay.
But I don't know that maybe the WFPA has anything on the website that maybe clarifies.
Okay.
I just have a couple of comments, and one of them is, and I agree with Betsy in this situation, I think that between FireWise and the work that we can do together, the WFPA, the WCAA, to bring the community involved here, that it's all of us together to work in common good is what we're about. I think that, you know, the board obviously has its functions and responsibilities for the fire department, but I think if we can work in tandem with that, that's a great thing. And one of the things I'd like to ask, if we could, is that you do have an art auction, final auction every year, and I think it's kind of got on the Saturday that we have our bingo. We might want to look at that a little bit, see if we can work together on that. And don't forget the cherry next time.
Oh, they're in the refrigerator.
Okay, anybody else? Kim?
I just have a couple questions. One, kind of on the scope of the planning committee, is the intent of that committee to essentially kind of look at what's the prioritized list of things the WRPA wants to do, and that also going to look at funding options, how to do that? I just wonder if we get a little more information on that. The second question is, with the new bylaws, my understanding is essentially there are no members of the WRPA. Do until we get that consent process lined up, and when we'll hear about that, or if that's just something that works.
Well, I'll answer the second one first. The consent process is that if somebody comes down and registers or wants a ballot, they've consented to become a member of the WFPA. Somebody donates money, donates time, that's a consent process to be a member of the WFPA. So I don't know that the board is going to, we need to finalize that in some formal way, but I think that's the bylaws just simply say anybody who donates time, donates money, and comes down and requests a ballot is a member eligible at that time, whatever it is. So, Tim?
Yeah, I think there's a little more than that. At least maybe I misunderstand the law, but the date of record for a valid membership meeting, the board has the leeway to establish a time window that people can basically establish what that date of record is, which at that point in time freezes the list of members for a subsequent membership vote. So I think it has to be like this. If the annual meeting is the only meeting we have a membership vote,
okay.
I'm not a lawyer, but
all right.
My understanding again is if you look at the IRS statutes related to the date of record, you can go no closer to the annual meeting than 10 days prior. So really, I think the secretary has an administrative burden, and there has to be a defined process to capture that. Again, Bill's not here.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Tim. Anything else? Yeah, the first one was, what's the scope of the planning committee? I think all those things you mentioned are part of this planning committee.
We can make this one.
Turn
it
on.
Well,
one of the purposes, I think, that we are going to have a retreat shortly is to discuss just that. I mean, so we'd be shooting from the hip by answering that question right now. I mean, we all recognize that we can't just plan, you know, 2 months out. And we got all this equipment, we got buildings, we got stuff, we need fundraising, we need all this stuff. So they all have to tie together with a master plan so that we're all working in sync. And that's really what I think this retreat's all about, is to define the missions for these various committees. Does that help? And also, this is Vic speaking, not the board, is that obviously each one of these committees needs community members as part of it. So as we come back with this stuff, you know, it ain't going to work unless people raise their hand to get on these committees and really dig into the issues and help us.
What, Betsy?
I'm not trying to delay the meeting, but I really think this is serious, and I'm concerned as a member of the community and for the WFPA. Your new bylaw, at the time of the vote, unfortunately, and we kept that in your attention.
Requirements of 41.
Was in your bylaw. And I believe that it sets a date towards the beginning of the year, of the beginning of this new year, that please pay attention to, that you have to, and I don't think it's right, but that your membership has to be stated by that time. You have to have your membership list, if you read your bylaws, stated by that time. We kept trying to bring it to your attention, asking, look at this carefully, you don't want to do this, but your bylaws require you. You have to know every damn person that is going to vote at the annual meeting right around the 1st of January. And in other words, you've restricted yourself even over the 10-day period or so that you're required to by Arizona revised statute. I'm sorry, but please get into this. Pay attention.
Okay.
I'm not coming from...
No, that's fine. Thank you, Betsy. Thanks.
All
right.
Well, we have a good secretary now.
Russ? Anything to add?
No, not until I can go back and review the bylaws again.
Okay.
For a fourth time. John, I don't remember.
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm not talking about in general for the whole meeting. We're going to wrap this up.
No.
All John?
I'm good for the whole meeting.
Greg?
Good.
Good. Okay, we're going to meet immediately after for Roger. Every once in a while we have somebody like John last month. All right. We're going to meet for the budget immediately after this. Is that correct? And then, Vic, you want to sit down and talk about some treasurer stuff, I understand.
I'll just get together with you on that separately.
Okay.
You and I can.
All right. Being nothing else, is there a motion to adjourn? Greg Scott moves to adjourn.
A second.
Scott, all in favor? Opposed? All right, we're adjourned.
Okay.